The central well of Mr. Croup and Mr. Vandemar's hospital was a dank and cheerless place. Ragged grass grew up through the abandoned desks, rubber tires, and bits of office furniture. The overall impression given by the area was that a decade before, perhaps out of boredom, perhaps out of frustration, perhaps even as a statement or as performance art, a number of people had thrown the contents of their offices out of their windows high above, and they had left them there to rot. There was broken glass there as well, broken glass in abundance. There were also several mattresses, for no easily explicable reason. Some of these mattresses had, at some point, been set on fire. No one knew why. No one cared. Grass grew up through the springs. An entire ecology had evolved around the ornamental fountain in the centre of the well, which had, for a long time, been neither particularly ornamental nor a fountain. A cracked and leaking water pipe nearby had, with the aid of some rainwater, transformed it into a breeding ground for a number of little frogs who plopped about cheerfully, rejoicing in their freedom from any non-airborne natural predators. Crows and blackbirds and even occasional seagulls, on the other hand, regarded the place as a cat-free delicatessen with a special on frogs. Slugs sprawled indolently under the springs of the burnt mattresses. Snails left slime trails across the broken glass. Large black beetles scuttled industriously over the smashed grey plastic telephones and mysteriously mutilated Barbie dolls. Mr. Croup and Mr. Vandemar had come up for a change of air. They were walking slowly around the perimeter of the central yard, broken glass crunching beneath their feet. They looked like shadows in their frayed black suits. Mr. Croup was in a cold fury. He was walking twice as fast as Mr. Vandemar, circling him and almost dancing in his anger. At times, as if unable to contain the rage inside, Mr. Croup would fling himself at the hospital wall, physically attack it with his fists and feet, as if it were a poor substitute for a real person. Mr. Vandemar, on the other hand, simply walked. It was too consistent, too steady and inexorable a walk to be described as a stroll. Death walks like Mr. Vandemar. Mr. Vandemar watched Mr. Croup impassively as Mr. Croup kicked a sheet of glass which had been leaning against a wall. It shattered with a satisfying crash.
"I, Mr. Vandemar," said Mr. Croup, surveying the wreckage, "I, for one, have had almost as much as I'm willing to take. Almost. Pussy-frutting, trifling, lollygagging, shilly-shallying, whey-faced toad. I could pop out his eyes with my thumbs."
Mr. Vandemar shook his head. "Not yet," he said. "He's our boss for this job. After we've been paid, maybe we could have some fun on our own time." Mr. Croup spat on the ground.
"He's a worthless, conniving dunderhead. We should butcher the bitch. Annul, cancel, inhume, and amortize her."
A telephone began to ring loudly. Mr. Croup and Mr. Vandemar looked around, puzzled. Eventually, Mr. Vandemar found the telephone halfway down a pile of rubble on top of a scree of water-stained medical records. Broken wires trailed from the back of it. He picked it up and passed it to Mr. Croup. "For you," he said. Mr. Vandemar did not like telephones.
"Mr. Croup here," said Croup.
Then, obsequiously,
"Oh, it's you, sir."
A pause.
"At present, as you requested, she is walking around free as a daisy.
I'm afraid your bodyguard idea went down like a dead baboon.
Varney? Oh, yes, he's quite dead.
Another pause.
Sir, I am commencing to have certain conceptual problems with the role of myself and my partner in these shenanigans.
There was a third pause, and Mr. Croup went paler than pale.
Unprofessional?
He asked mildly.
Us?
He curled his hand into a fist, which he slammed, rather hard, into the side of a brick wall. There was no change, however, in his tone of voice as he said,
Sir, might I, with due respect, remind you that Mr. Vandemar and myself burned down the city of Troy? We brought the Black Plague to Flanders. We have assassinated a dozen kings, 5 popes, 50 heroes, and 2 accredited gods. Our last commission before this was the torturing to death of an entire monastery in 16th century Tuscany. We are utterly professional.